The title is Speaking Your Life's Work. So Genesis, let's start in the beginning. What did God do? He said, and it was created. He said and created. He actually, it says he said, and then at the end of that verse or block of what he said, he saw. He said, he saw, he said, not hand saw, not chain saw, but with his eyes, you know, he saw. So he said something, and then, because we're stuck in this realm of time, something transpired, and then he saw it. Now, I don't know if it was instantaneous, or like some of these scientists go, well, God, you know, creation scientists, well, God said, and then it was how many ever millions of years or whatever. I don't know. I'm kind of the thought that God said, and immediately it happened, but does it really matter? It happened, right? You know, like, oh, it took a half a billionth of a second. You know, well, no, it took a billion years. Really doesn't matter. You weren't here anyway. You know, I mean, let's argue about something that's irrelevant. But the point is, God spoke, and then he saw it. He spoke and he saw, he spoke and saw. So in Genesis 1:27, it comes down to we're made in his image, okay? And now in today's day and age with pictures and stuff on iPads, there are two dimensions, X and Y, left and right, flat object. But that's not really what God's meaning, because God's a triune person, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So he also operates in the spirit realm. He operates in the physical realm. So image is a representation of a person or a thing, an object reflected. The Lewis is my son, so he's an object of me. He's a reflection of me. Okay, my wife and Martha are even dressed similar today. And she was dressed first. Martha was dressed first. But my wife and her have gone into places of business or whatever, and people stare at them and go, are you two sisters? Or yes, and my wife is more than 28 years old, and 28 was a good year, and Martha is 17. So my wife is going, yes. So Martha is an image or a representation of my wife. And Martha is a multidimensional. She's not a flat object, you know, like Gumby or something. You know, she has a dynamic personality. She has a physical body. She has a spirit. She has blood running through her veins. There's all different aspects to her intellect, da-da-da-da-da. Well, same way, God made you a reflection of himself, a simile. If you looked up the word image, it means a simile. You're similar to God. And that word comes from the Latin imago, related to imitate. And I thought, when I saw that, I thought, aha, aha, ha, ha, ha. We're imitating. And that's where a lot of preachers get it, is that we're made in the image of God. But that word image is derived from to imitate. So we're actually made a living being to imitate God. And so God spoke several times, and he intends his man that he created to imitate him. Verse 31 of Genesis 1, it says, then God saw everything he made. And I went back and looked, and I thought, okay, he said he saw, he said he saw, he said he saw, he said he saw. He wants us to be created in his image, do as he did. But then he saw it again. And I thought, you know, just like faith, he said something, then he saw it. And just like faith, your faith is working, and you need to be speaking things. I have more business coming to me. I have customers calling me wanting my product or services. I have straight A's in school. I do well in baseball. You know, the children in the school obey me the first time. You know, they respect me. You know, we don't have confrontations because wherever I am, there's peace. There's peace on the school that I'm in today. You know, those kind of things, confessions. Bob and Rosie, you guys got a whole tribe full of grandkids. You know, your confession, you might say, well, I have plenty of money. I have a beautiful wife. I'm comfortable. Well, you know, there's things down the line. The blessing, the grace is poured out in the Old Testament. It says three generations. Isn't that interesting? There's a lot of threes. Blessing on you, your children, and your grandchildren. So, you know, maybe Bob and Rosie, maybe a lot of their confession might be for their children and their grandchildren. I don't know. I'm just saying, for instance. So anyway, if we get this thing to stop flipping around. Then in Genesis 2:2, it says, God rested from his work. So it's interesting because up to then, you know, he spoke, it was created, he saw it. So in the same way, when you speak, it's work. Now that doesn't mean, I know that there's some people I've talked to, Christians, spirit-filled Christians, word of faith Christians, that they take it to the point where it's almost like, well, I can just kind of do nothing and God's just going to bless me. Are you kidding me? Follow me around for a day. Every time I speak the blessing over myself, it equates to more work here in this physical world. More orders, more employees. And like I've had with my wife, talked with her, last summer I had the opportunity for another business came to me to, do you want to purchase this business, this product line? And then I had God, here's an opportunity. And I'm like, did a little bit of thinking about it, talking and stuff with my people. And we decided, no, it's not the right time, not the right product, no. Well, now here, it's almost 2 weeks ago now, I think. My accountant emailed me, he says, hey, are you interested in buying another machine shop? Well, sure I am. At least you got to say, you know, well, fish is on the line, let's see what kind of fish it is. You know, just say, oh, I'm tired of fishing, you know. No, you know, I mean, if I'm praying for God to bless me, and the vision for my life that God's given me is to be a self-supportive minister, that I'm not dependent upon an offering or something like that, well then I need multiple streams of income. And the blessing's got to grow and come in all different ways. And so, you know, I'm in the beginning of stages of looking at this other business to purchase, and I'm sitting here going like, oh, Jesus, I don't understand at all. I don't, but I know who. It's not my job to understand how or why, but it's my job to know who. I know God's blessing me. And then sooner or later, the why and the what catches up with that. And so, you know, it might come to the point, you know, in another week or two where we've gone through our due diligence and I say, this just isn't a good fit. I'm just not going to work. You know what? But I would say probably less than a month ago, my sales guy and I, Roy Averill, who used to go here, we're praying, and all of a sudden I prayed out that I own 25 businesses. Did I just say 25 businesses? You know? But when you're praying according to the Spirit of God, and you pray out some things, and sometimes did I just say that? Who said that? I said that. Like the house that we live in now, my wife and I kept telling the lady that owned the house, no, thank you, cost too much, we're not interested. It's like it's double the size and it's double the price of what we even could remotely think that we could afford. The lady kept on telling my wife, because she's known her for 30 years or something, hey, you need to look at our house. And so 7.5 years or something ago-ish, we finally are like, okay, we'll go look at it. We drive in. I walk in the front door. If this is the front door, I didn't get to where Lewis is here. About 3 steps in, and I heard inside loud and clear, loud, like, this is my house. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. So my spirit and the Spirit of God in me are telling me, this is my house. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know how this is going to work out. But the what and the why worked out because I know who. And I know who said that inside of me. So, hallelujah. So you're speaking works even when you don't realize it. You'll be speaking things and don't get loopy. Don't start going, I'm a flying pink pony. No. You're never going to be a flying pink pony. Uh-uh. No. Read the Word of God. Find out what the Word of God says, like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, who yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So then you take that, and Brad, the beekeeper, can go, you know what? I don't walk in the way of wicked. I don't sit in their counsel. I'm a godly man. And I expect whatever I do to prosper. My wife hates bees. I don't really like them either. And so beekeeping would be tragic for our marriage and our life. Okay? That would never work, ever, ever. unless my beekeeping business was like two states away and she never had to go there. But beekeeping, it's never going to work for me, but it works for Brad. So hallelujah. So whatever you do prospers. And Danny can go, I meditate, as you go from drive from client to client, meditate on his word. John 3:2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. Well, you know what, Lord, my soul prospers because I delight myself in your word day and night. I delight myself in your word day and night and my soul prospers. And because my soul prospers, I expect that this next client is going to buy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And when the next client says no, you can just go, well, King David was preparing for four defeats. You know what? We'll move on and we'll trust that the Holy Spirit will minister to this person. And a week later, or a month later, or a year later, they'll call up and say, you know what? I didn't want product A, but I want product B. Praise God. Or you know what? I don't want any of your products. But you know, my uncle was asking about your stuff, so I gave him your name and number. Is that okay? Well, sure it is. Hallelujah. You can expect stuff like that because you delight yourself in his word. Find out what his word says. And you know, if you've been cheated financially, which I know probably most of us have been, because we live here in this world where John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I have come that you may have, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's the Amplified version. So you can say, you know what, I've been cheated financially, but I know Proverbs 6:31 says that if the thief be found, he must repay. He must repay. Sevenfold. Hallelujah. And you read in the Old Testament that if it was, you know, of a certain value, it was either three times or four times or seven times. So if you don't have the faith for seven times, like Proverbs says, well, at least go back to three times. Well, you know what? I've been cheated out of this money. I love that person. You know, maybe it was a former employer that didn't give you your last paycheck, and that last paycheck was $200. And you go, you know what? I love that person, and I bless that person. And I speak the blessing over that person's life, because the most important thing is not $200. The most important thing is that they get born again, that they stop being a lying, cheating thief, because, you know, we'd have to have a lot less government if people weren't liars and cheating thieves. And you know what? If somebody really is born again, and the Spirit of God really does live inside of them, and when they take something that's not theirs, or they cheat somebody to defraud them of their wages, Spirit of God's going to say, excuse me, you need to pay those people. You need to pay those people. You need to pay those people. I had a situation probably 10, 15 years ago. An employee was not doing a good job. We parted ways. It was kind of like, I don't need you anymore. And they were like, well, I got another job anyway. And so it was like, oh, wow, that was great. Well, in the way they calculated their little bit of, I think it was like $213 of commission or something, you know, they demanded it. And I was like, well, you just quit, you know? And that commission wouldn't be due for like another month anyway. So why am I paying you if you're not working here? It's like, go away, you know? So you think the Spirit of God let me go on that one? No. So weeks later, I'm on the phone holding back tears. I'm sorry. I mailed you a check for your $213. You know what? I don't need a police officer to come to my business and tell me you cheated somebody. The Spirit of God is a whole lot more effective. So your point is, like with a prior employer, I don't know why I'm on that, but if you got cheated out of $200, I bless that person. I bless John Smith. I bless his business, and I just say the blessing be upon it, because I his soul is worth something. And Lord God, I count that as a seed. So Lord, there's a 30 and a 60 and a 100-fold return in the Bible on seed sown. So I expect a harvest. Well, at least I expect 3 times 200 is $600. So I thank you, Lord, that it's coming to me. That's coming to me now. And sometimes you have to speak things like that for a long time. Expect it now. Because we know according to Daniel, the book of Daniel, when Daniel prayed, that sometime later, some weeks later, the angel showed up and said, hey, from the moment you prayed, the answer was given. But it was 21 days later before the angel could break through. Well, that wasn't the sum total solution of the problem. Then he said, I'm going to go and war, you know, with this other angel in this other area. So even though in the spirit realm, when you speak, when you pray, when you say, when you make confessions by faith, it's done immediately, there's work to be done in the spirit realm. There's work to be done in the physical realm. So you can expect it now. You can expect your miracle now. You can expect things to happen now. Just like when you prayed, I believe Jesus is Lord, Well, you didn't get saved 4 weeks from then. Jesus came and forgave your sins right then and there. He came and made you a new creation in Christ right then and there. You may feel like it, you may not feel like it. That's irrelevant. What's relevant is right when you prayed is when you received. Well, so in the physical realm, sometimes it doesn't work that fast. And the reason is, I don't know. The reason is a huge number of reasons, all sorts of reasons. Mountains, a lot of times, are moved one tiny little grain at a time. And sometimes mountains are moved with a huge explosion. If you've ever seen the videos on strip mining, they might want to remove this side of the mountain, so they drill a whole bunch of holes, boom, and it's gone in a minute, you know, seconds. Takes a few minutes for the dust to settle. There, mountain's gone. Well, you know, in the spirit realm and in our lives, some of those mountains are self-inflicted mountains. Some of those mountains have been passed on from father to son to father to son to father to son. And so you might have to move some of those grain by grain. But you know what? You're moving them grain by grain. You're moving them. You're progressing. You're doing something more. It's happening. It's working. And God's working with you to show you great and mighty things. Hallelujah. My example was how I speak to my wife about you don't realize things right away. If, like for instance, we've been married 22 years this summer. So I always tell her she's beautiful and I love her and I appreciate her and all this other stuff. Because there are times like, I don't know, was yesterday, was I grumpy or something? You know, okay, she's nodding her head, yes. So, you know, I need a lot of positive, good things deposited in her life so that, you know, when I'm less than perfect, she's merciful. But, you know, I tell her she's beautiful and lovely and all these other things, and so it's built up an image inside of her, a positive thing. Well, if I had said over and over, you're dumb, you're fat, you're ugly, you're stupid, you know, that would have built up an image over time too. And I don't think we'd be married anymore. But we're happily married, and we feel like every day is a honeymoon because we love each other. We enjoy each other's company. We, you know, people go, well, is your wife your best friend? No, she's beyond that. A best friend would be like a couple steps down, you know. Bob and Rosie are nodding their head, you know. She can have all the best friends she wants because she's beyond best friends. She's my other half. It'd be like, you know, cut off your left arm with a plastic spoon. Well, you can't do that. I can't get rid of her because I've built up an image in her. And so your words, as you speak them over your own life, expect that it's a building up of something. And same thing, if you look back and the Spirit's telling you, hey, you've built up some negative things, well, time to change them. And that's why the Bible talks about sowing seed. I have a scripture down here farther that your return on sowing seed is 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, we're not perfect, are we, Joe? Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we don't say to her, oh, I love your new haircut. Huh. If that. Or you didn't notice my haircut. You know, or you're facing this way and she's over there and she goes, how does this look? Oh, you look beautiful. You didn't even turn around and look at me. You've never done that, have you, Joe? No? He says, no, I have. I have. Plenty of times. But, for the Lord is good and gracious, and that meant something to somebody. Joshua 1, 8, and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That was the example with Danny in the car, speaking scriptures. Put the word of God in your mouth, not just... And sometimes some of you might be in a factory job where you're assembling something here and somebody's 3 feet away assembling something there. And if you're saying out loud this loud, these scriptures, that might drive that other person absolutely crazy. We do not need another workplace shooting, okay? It is to meditate means to murmur or mutter. So you can sit there, like for instance, you might have somebody that's very hostile to Christianity in your workplace. So they're not interested in hearing your praise songs. They're not interested in hearing your scriptures. So you can sit there and praise the Lord. That's it. And that's about the work of medicine. Because you're not saying it to them. You don't really care if anybody else hears the word of God coming out of your mouth. You care about did I hear my faith working? Did God hear my faith working? So you can murmur and mutter that thing all day, and they say what? Oh, I'm just singing a song to myself. Okay. You know, but what that is bait on a hook. Pretty soon they're going to notice, hey, why are you always so happy? You know, I know what just happened in your life, and you should be miserable. Yeah, I should be, but I have joy. Why? Because here's the scriptures on joy I've been speaking about. Glory to God. So it's up to you. In other words, go back to the Garden of Eden. Did God create it? Yes. Did God put everything in there in abundance? Yes. And then he said to Adam, it's your responsibility, replenish it. It's the same thing and same concept in Joshua. I've blessed you. It's your responsibility. Do something with it. Okay? Psalm 21:2. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. That was one of three scriptures that I put on my refrigerator with a Mercedes CLS 500. And I spoke to that for 2 months shy of 5 years. And it finally came to me. And I was driving a Buick, what was it, Century? Buick Century? Rusted out piece of junk, pewter, terrible color. I know Jeff likes pewter. I don't like pewter. But it's smelly because I hauled gas and stuff in it. But but God, yeah, right there. It's in the parking lot. God gave me the desire of my heart. He gave it to me. So, praise the Lord. Sometimes, if you refuse to fall, even though maybe you have fallen, you refuse to give up, even though it seems like the devil is stomping up and down your back, and you just keep quoting the scripture, keep believing that God is and that God wants to and that he already did, it'll come to pass. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And I need to tell my wife to stop crying, but hallelujah. Oh, because we have a child. I might not hit most of these scriptures. We have a child, some of you know him, David. Legally blind, Asperger's. I should not tell this or I'll start crying. But May 18th was his 20th birthday. So when he was, what, 2 or 3 or something like that, we had a government official come to our house to evaluate him and said he'll never be able to take care of himself. He won't be... Can't look at my wife. So he won't be able to take care of himself. He won't be able to do this. He won't be able to do that. He'll have to be institutionalized. You know, he's an idiot. So aren't you? You know, basically that's what she was saying. And we're like, no. Like my sales guy laughs at me. He goes, "You've raised a house full of generals." So even though he still has Asperger's, he gets irritated. I don't have Asperger's. That was a misdiagnosis. Okay, you don't have Asperger's. And, you know, he's legally blind and he has hearing loss, so he wears hearing aids. But probably middle of this last semester, he goes to Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, all on his own. And this last semester, middle of the semester, all of a sudden, he had gotten lost. And I don't know if he had made a confession of faith or he just believed. And he says, you know, all of a sudden my eyes worked. And so I just followed wherever my eyes led me. And we're like, well, praise God. Hey, because we've been confessing that he's healed. Well, so he's still using his cane and he's still blind. But right now he's in the middle of a missions trip to China. God provided the money. We had naysayers. We had some naysayers. We'd like to slap them, you know. But we had some, yeah, and if they're listening to this, they ought to be slapped. Because they naysayed the anointing of God on his life. The anointing of God on his life is he is a straight A student, 18 credit hours, and he's a straight A student. I mean, he got his brains from his mother because I never did that well. And straight-A student, he was in a leadership position this last year for a while, and he's on missions, doing his own thing, 20 years old. You know, of course, we're still helping him financially a little bit. But, man, where he is now, I'd like to go back to that government official and say, institution, he's working on a government major. And he's going to go to law school because his desire is to go to work for the government and straighten it out. That's what God's vision on his life, that he's going to be a representative or he's going to be president. I don't understand what or why, but I know who. And I know that he's nothing like that government official told my wife, that he would be. But that he is a man of excellence. He is living for the Lord on his own. He's filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And he's hearing the voice of God. He's recognizing the voice of God. And he's obeying the voice of God. And if you think you have a disadvantage, name the government's come up with a whole list of disadvantages. And one of them is not pasty, fat, white, middle-aged fella. You know? So, and David hits some of those. And so he's disadvantaged. But you know what? It just makes him mad. We had to fight with him. I am telling you what, tooth and nail to have him take his government benefit, of SSI, when he was 18. Oh, it was WWE times 10, except for we didn't touch each other. But it was just like, are you kidding me, David? This is how much I paid in taxes last month. This is how much your grandparents and everybody else that we know that is paying taxes for you. Yes, you in theory don't agree with it, but it is what it is. It's confiscatory. We have to pay it. And you get the benefit if you will just sign up, and it would really help. And so it came down to like 2 weeks before he went off to Oral Roberts University, I'm like, David, go and pray, and then talk to your mentor, a godly man. And he prayed and went and talked to his mentor, and he said, if this is how God has provided, I will take it right now. But, you know, and praise God, he's going down swinging. He is determined as anybody. The guy that's one of the, I don't know if he's a dean or whatever he is, he's in charge of special services at ORU. And he said, you know, he played football at Oklahoma State when Barry Sanders was there. And he told me, he said, David is, out of all the people he's been associated with, you know, college-level athletes that have gone on to be all pros and stuff, David is the most determined individual he has ever met. Well, praise the Lord. So when he ever does get his law degree, watch out. I am telling you what, the Red Sea has already parted in front of him. He is going to kick some stuff. So praise the Lord. So I think this meant something to whatever I was saying. But speaking, my wife and I kept speaking over him, the request of our lips. And God told my wife when David was, what, less than five? Or at some point, 2 years old, God said, I'm going to heal David. Well, he's 20. That was 18 years ago. But you know what? The nights that we have Bible study, we go through, and first we make confessions over the missionaries that we support. We make confessions over Pastor Tim and his wife, and then we make confessions over that our family's getting people saved. We put the kingdom first, and then we say David's healed. His eyes are healed. Asperger's is gone. His hearing is healed. And you know what? Hasn't happened yet, but it has happened. It will happen. And then talk about a Rambo-like figure. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, not violently, but you take the kingdom of God violently, by force. You forcefully, sometimes, in the face of a blind cat, you have to yell at God, the world, the devil, or whoever will listen. By his stripes, he's healed. Amen. And after 18 years, 20 years, by his stripes, he's healed. And tomorrow our confession will be, by his stripes he's healed. And then one day, like the middle of the semester, well, my eyes just started working. Then we can see, liar, devil. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Oh, he's a liar. My God has done a great and mighty thing. Glory to God. I don't know how long I can go. 11:30, I think, is the cutoff for most times, he says, but you know, he never said anything to me about that. So, we'll break now, and then we'll come back for our evening session. No, just kidding. So there's a whole lot of scriptures about speaking, and I want to give our other fellow a time to go. But if you're writing these down, Proverbs 12:14, a man will be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. Proverbs 13:2-3. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. That's why when my wife and I see the news or whatever, and she gets all concerned or hears something on Facebook, I say, hold on, time out. First of all of these different people groups. No, people groups is the wrong word. I'll just say it. The gay community, which is very forceful right now. As Christians, our number one commandment is love. They are people. We love people. Jesus loved people. And the times the woman at the well and the woman caught in adultery, what the Bible says is sexual sins. Jesus was gracious. He was kind. He was loving. And he never condemned them. He never condemned them. And after John 3:16-17 goes on, God didn't come into the world to condemn the world, because condemnation was already there. It says the condemnation's out there. They're hurting people. You know, so your average, everyday, we had another UPS driver years ago, a lady that was gay. And I just treated her with kindness and respect. And, you know, we had some conversations, but she knows that she intersected the love of God. But it's the militant kind of group that wants to take over and force it down our throats that you have to say, oh, time out. I have to tell my wife, time out. That's death. The scripture just said here, it's their destruction. In fact, that when I see these militant gays getting all angry and violent, you know, forcefully, verbally, I just think you're only adding to your own destruction. Could you just stop for a second and just consider the love of Jesus? You know, Jesus loves me. Though I was a sinner, when I didn't even know sin, I didn't even know it was sin. Until the law was introduced, sin just abounded. But now grace abounded until the law was introduced. Then all of a sudden when the law is introduced, sin abounds. So when you're at odds with somebody, or their theology or their position in life, take a deep breath and realize if their foundation is death, that's the seed that they've sown. What are they going to reap besides death? But as the church, as Christians, who are ministers and agents of love, what are we sowing? Love. So I think there was a fella that came that may have been of that persuasion, and I introduced myself to him, smiled, listened to him, talked to him, and I would love it if he came every Sunday. I would love him to come back and to be his friend, because he's a hurting person. He needs somebody. He needs a family. He needs somebody to say, you know what? I don't want to talk about gay. I don't want to talk about any of that. I just want to love. I just want to care about you as a person. How are you doing? Well, my I think about politically. Stop that. Just stop that. How are you doing? Well, I haven't talked to my mom for 14 years. All right. Well, let's pray about that. God, heal his heart. Heal him. Help him to know that he has a family here. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will minister to him in such a way that what we see as these big sins, the blood of Jesus just dissolves them. And they'll go, you know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the blood covered me. Hallelujah. How does somebody turn from their wicked ways? The Bible says the love of God compels them. It's the love of God. Somehow, people outside those doors have to intersect with the love of God. Some big, hairy, nasty-looking person at Quick Trip one day, you know, come in, we had to get coffee. And I just said, you know, then man, blankety blank changes in the car. I'll pay for it. What? I'll pay for it. You know, I can do the 50 cents or the buck or whatever it is. You know what? Just so that you know Jesus loves you. Oh, man, thanks. That's awesome. Out he went. But you know what? For all eternity, that fella cannot deny the love of God touched him. On the great judgment day, if he doesn't get saved beforehand, when all the wicked go before God, he can stand up there and say, oh, I'm perfect. I never heard of this Jesus. And God will pull out the video and say, Jeff Jones bought you a cup of coffee and said, Jesus loves you. The love of God intersected your life. You're just too stupid to know it. You know? And the wicked, the Bible says, the wicked, they're stupid. They don't understand. They can't see past the end of their nose. But the love of God compels them. So, I have lots of other scriptures about sowing and reaping. A lot of them, your mouth, and I could read them off, but I won't because it's a nice day and you all want to get out of here. But my whole point was, leading up these Old Testament scriptures, that was the basis Jesus had. So when you get to Mark chapter 4 of sowing and reaping, Jesus had the foundation of all of these scriptures, Old Testament scriptures. When you get to one of our favorite, Mark 11, 23 and 24, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Well, Jesus likens prayer to saying things. And I have prayed and confessed and prayed and confessed for some things for like my car for 5 years. And all of a sudden, like this winter, Lewis and I got into snowmobiling. Oh, it's so awesome. But anyway, it renews my youth to get out there through the snow, and it was just fun. And in a one-week period of time, at the very end of the season, I just kind of had one of those things where you just kind of think it inside and you say it inside. Oh, I'd really like I bought a piece of junk 99 that was a blessing to us. And then throughout, it was a two-seater, so me and Lewis had to ride together. And that was not doing my back any good. So December and January, by the end of January, I just said, you know what, I'm buying myself a new one. I am just taking a plunge. And so a brand new, And so then Lewis had to ride the old one. I got the new one. But at the end of the season, I was just like, you know, it was middle of March, and I'm thinking, I would really like a new one of these, you know, for Lewis and a trailer and a truck to go with it. Because where we live, it's just, we can go right from our barn onto the trail, you know, around the block. You know, we ride a ditch 0.6 mile, bam, we're on the trails and go all over. But at the end of the season, you got to go north. So I was just kind of in my heart, I was like, you know, I would really like, I didn't tell my wife, I didn't really make a confession of faith. And in a 1 week period of time, the president of our snowmobile club, he says, hey, do you want to buy, he buys a new one every year. So him and his wife, actually he gets the year old one and his wife gets the new one every year. But so then he sells the one that's, so we got a 2013, right? Yeah. So he sold us his 2013 for him to ride. And, you know, it's, instead of mine, the big engine, it's the next smaller size engine down, but otherwise it's identical. So it doesn't go so fast, so mom is happy. And so, you know, he's like, hey, do you want to buy this? And I said, well, here's what I want to do. And it basically was about, 20% less than it should have been. But his whole goal is to spring order, and so he just wanted a little bit of cash now. So I got a really smoking good deal on that sled. Then my electrician friend, I've known since I was a kid, calls me up one day and he says, hey, you know, you borrowed my snowmobile trailer. Do you want to just buy it? And I says, well, I put, you know, and he said like $9 or $9.50 or something like that. And I said, well, yeah, thanks for lending it to me, because one tire went flat and the other one was not as good either. And so I put, you know, tires on it. He goes, well, how about $800? I mean, I looked online. I couldn't find the same trailer for less than $2,200. I'm going like, well, I can do $800 if I can't find one for less than $2,200 online. And then, like, a couple days later, I had somebody that we talked to. They're a two-car family, and they want to get rid of their, I think it's like an 04 F-150, but it's only got, like, 20, it's either 24 or 28,000 miles on it. It's an elderly couple, and they want to go back down to one car because they don't need to. And they're like, hey, are you interested in buying this? And they told me the dollar amount, and yes. I'm like, it still has the little rubber things on the tires. You ain't hardly gotten it out of, you know, second gear. Yes, I want that truck. And so they're like, well, we don't really want to sell it now. We want to sell it later in the summer, maybe in the fall when the new vehicles come out and da-da-da-da. I think they might want to trade two. They want to sell both of theirs and we'll get one different one or something. But, you know, God knows the desires of your heart. And sometimes you have faith that's working like that that you don't realize is working. It's like the gun was loaded. Boom. Oh, it does go bang. You know, your faith goes bang. Be careful with it. But use it. Use it a lot. Use it. And if you use it all the time, speaking to things and speaking to scriptures, so that way when it comes up to just the desires of your heart, like me and the kid going snowmobiling, I mean, God goes, ha, see what I can do. So hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the word of God will be active and alive in their lives, and that it will come...